This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Show from the Marriott Silicon Valley, Fremont, California, on location all week long. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman and the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. Hey, Coach, how are you?
Doing great. How about you guys?
Doing good. How's the week been? I mean, because there's a lot that goes into coming, you know, out west and bringing a football team in its entirety.
It's really been impressive. You know, how we've got it all set up. I mean, to bring all your material, all your video, your staffing, equipment, and get it all set up and have a field that we can operate in. And it's been amazing, just the whole setup. And what a great thing for us to do prior to London. You know, that's coming up. I know we don't look ahead, but for those guys, I think they're using this as kind of a test run.
Seems like it went smoothly this week. I mean, I didn't hear about any fires or anything.
No, it really has. It's been really, really good. And that matter of fact, it's been good for our players.
How's San Jose State, right? That's where you guys are practicing at. How's that facility been for you guys?
It's good. I mean, the dining center is right next to the field. The dressing room's right next to the field. So as far as getting a setup like that, it was good. So, you know, the fields, we're operating under a few less fields than we do back in Jacksonville. But it's all very manageable, and our players have really adjusted. We just talked about it. You know, that our practice on Wednesday was far better than it was last week.
Really?
And, so it's a good situation.
How are the coaches dealing with it? I mean, good. Hey, you guys are out of your environment now, right?
You don't have your
lazy boy office chair, you know, with the high back.
You know what? It's been good because of this. You know, I think it brings you back to your roots a little bit.
Yeah.
And you realize, you know what, we're going back, and it brings us back to some of our times when we coached in college. And, you know, I think there's a lot of memories that were brought up because of it. But our coaches have been awesome. Our players have been good through the whole thing. And we got a lot accomplished.
Well, if you were going to do this, this would be a great time with a new coaching staff. You know, half the team is new personnel department all put together to get out here and to be concentrated amongst each other constantly.
Yeah, that wasn't my intent or our focus when we came out here to say, okay, this would be a great bonding time. But it has happened. You know, guys are lifting together. They're watching film together. They're spending more time together. You're seeing them do more things on their free time together. And it's been good for our team.
I mean, they're not singing Kumbaya or anything, but it's good. I mean,
that's right.
That is good, though, right?
It really is. You know, and, you know, just even to go down there, and, you know, there's a snack at 8:30, and I walked over there from my office last night, and here's, you know, six or seven guys in there just sitting around a table and visiting. And, you know, I've seen Mojo sitting with D-Rob and talking to him at length. I've seen Cecil sitting at a table with Ace and talking to him about football at length. So not only group conversations, but a lot of one-on-one conversations. And I know the younger players appreciate it.
You brought up Maurice a little bit. How is Maurice doing this week?
He's doing good. You know, he started off really sore. And the swelling went down, but then it came back, whether the travel or moving back and forth. But the swelling is starting to go down again. And today will be a big day to see how he adjusts to it.
And when you look at a guy like this, who is your workhorse running back, I mean, where's the line, Coach, where you say, you know what, we probably should just give him time off, give him more time? Is that when the trainer says he shouldn't play? Or do you as a coach have some input on that as to when you think he's ready to go?
Well, I think, you know, if he has a chance, ability to play, and the injury can't get worse, and he can perform at a high level, then he should play.
Okay.
And, you know, but if it's going to be something where he's not quite 100%, if he's 80%, and it could get worse, and as the game goes on, then we have to take a strong look at it.
Well, I guess that's what probably a lot of our listeners are wondering is, what's the definition of high level? Where in your mind do you say he can come out and help us, or, you know, he's probably going to be better if we put him on the shelf for a week or two or whatever it takes?
Well, high level would be a classic example, Allen Ball last week.
Okay.
We went out and worked him out prior to the game, and in our mind it was, if he's at 90%, is that good enough? Is that good enough for what we're asking him to do? And, you know, we just felt like he had to go out there with no pain, be able to run, break, do every skill set that we asked him to do prior to the injury. And if he can demonstrate that, then that's the high level.
A lot of people are wondering, was his foot impacted at all? Because, I mean, when you watched the tackle by Woodson and he came over the top, there was a lot of stress put on that lower left leg. Is the rest of everything else okay?
Yeah, everything else is okay. It's just that tendon that swelled up a little bit. And like I said, hopefully we get that swelling out of there. And if we can do that, then I think you'll see him really make fast progress.
Okay, if he can't go, I mean, how does the rotation work? Because Justin Forsett's starting to show some things again.
Right.
You got Jordan Todman, who carried the load in preseason.
Yes, and D-Rob. You know, those three guys right there, we're going to, you know, they'll get a tremendous amount of work if that should happen.
But Justin, I want to jump in real quick because, you know, you always say a lot of nicknames. And some people may not know them all yet. D-Rob, Denard Robinson.
Yeah, Denard Robinson, obviously. And then, Justin Forsett and Todman. But those three guys, you know, Justin Forsett obviously has the most experience and has played in big games. So he'll have an opportunity to showcase his talents for the team, you know, if Mojo isn't available.
You know, I want to go back to one more thing, too. As a guy goes through the week, you know, as Mojo has gone from last week in Oakland to now in Seattle, what more can he do with something like an ankle? Does he spend more time in the training room? Does he spend more time stretching? How do you take a guy, Coach, and still keep him involved in the regular routine, but also give him the best chance to be ready to go on Sunday?
Well, it's probably the best situation. We're here at a hotel. And, you know, to spend time with the trainers. And I know there's certain massage therapists coming in. I mean, we're going to every length to get him ready to go just by the amount of people that have come in to help him outside of our trainers.
How about the medical, you know, abilities out here? I mean, are they the same as what you would have back in Jacksonville to treat guys, you know?
Yeah, we brought our whole facility out here pretty much. You know, they got a training room, massage room. Physical therapy. So everything that we had in Jacksonville, we bring out here. And, you know, and if we don't have it for some reason, we make sure we get it.
You bring the cold tubs with the treadmills and everything?
They're going, yeah, that's where they're going, across the street.
You borrow C-130 from an AS Jacksonville to bring out the tubs?
You know, before we finish this segment, it bears noting as a former player. I mean, when you go through the course of the week, you are so tuned into your body and what you need. Didn't you always tell me that you used to get logs a massage on Friday?
Fridays every day, every week.
And why was it Friday every week? And I mean, give folks a sense of how you got tuned in.
Well, Fridays was always because it gave you two days to recover, because sometimes you had to recover from massage. I mean, some of those massage therapists now will beat you up and dig deep to where your body has to just recover from some of the soreness of a massage.
All right, the Jaguars in Seattle on Sunday to take on the Seahawks. Jaguars in California, getting ready to take the short drive, short flight. It's not even that short, is it? It's a long way to Seattle. About 850 miles up there. So, anyway, Jaguars stay on the coast to get ready for the Seahawks, and we'll continue with head coach Gus Bradley when we return on the Jaguars Radio Network. We show from the Marriott Silicon Valley in Fremont, California, Brian Sexton, head coach Gus Bradley, and Jeff Loggeman. Let's talk just a little bit about, because you've been asked about it all week, the return to Seattle, a place where you really established your NFL credentials, and a place I know that you think very, very highly of, and a coach in Pete Carroll that you're very fond of.
Yeah, it was a good situation. How, you know, to look back at my time up there and with Jim Mora and Pete Carroll and the players that were up there and the staff, it was a really good situation, and a lot of friendships built up in Seattle. And, you know, you always look back and you appreciate those times. But thankfully, those good times happened because it allowed me to be in Jacksonville now.
Do you ever think back and say, this is the moment that I really loved about Seattle? I mean, do you have one moment that would sum it up?
You know, I think the whole process as a whole was really cool to be a part of, because back in 2009, we won five games. And then the next year, we won, you know, seven games. And then, you know, it just the building of the whole process and seeing it come together. And I really didn't want to miss any part of that. And, you know, that's what's taking place here. I don't want to miss any part of this process that we're putting together, because it's, you know, it just keeps getting more and more exciting every day.
And is that something that you look back upon and say, that's what we want to do in Jacksonville?
Well, we're going to have our own way of doing it. But, yeah, I mean, to bring in guys, you know, you're seeing a lot of similarities. You know, I don't know how fast it's going to take place or what order, if it's going to be the same, but Dave and I have a vision of how this needs to be done. And but it starts right now. It starts right now with our current players.
And before we go there, you guys have laughed and joked and told some stories about Pete Carroll and your relationships with him in a very positive way. Loggy, you played for him with the Jets, and obviously, Coach, you were with him. He's a unique individual, isn't he?
High energy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just very spirited, and what you see is what you get, and it doesn't matter if you're ahead in the game or down the game or it's a good day or a bad day. He's always the same, high-spirited and upbeat, and you know, that's what I think the players appreciate about him.
A couple things I remember about him. The basketball, always had a basketball. It seemed like he dribbled that thing everywhere around the facility. Used to love to throw the football through the goalpost from the end line in the end zone.
Yeah.
And played a harmonica. Would actually teach himself things on a car ride to work every day. I mean, he's always, the energy is just endless with him.
Yeah, very competitive. You know, the basketball, we had a basketball hoop put up, you know, in the indoor practice facility. And he would go out there and play basketball. And you know, you'd normally think, well, that's a distraction. Here's a basketball hoop up in the indoor practice facility, and players are shooting hoops before practice. But that's how he liked it. And that's how, you know, he operated better in that type of environment.
You and he obviously are a lot alike then, because you have boundless energy also.
Well, yeah, I think we're probably similar in many ways, but then we have our differences as well. And, you know, I think probably the biggest thing is we both just try to stay true to ourselves.
How about some of the staff that Pete has? Some good friends there, I'm sure.
Yeah,
that you
some
have.
Good ones. Well, you know, Ken Norton, you know, is a great linebacker coach. His dad just passed away. And, you know, it brings up memories now of being with Ken's dad or just having a short time to visit with him. And, you know, those things, when those things happen, it brings up memories of the staff. But Tom Cable, Brian Schneiders, just good people, good people. But you have your friendship before the game.
You
have the friendship after the game. But during the game,
competition.
Yeah, it's competition. Well, and, you know, we're going up there for one reason.
Since we're on the Seahawks, here's my question, watching them last Sunday night. The thing that amazed me is just how calm, how stable Russell Wilson is with everything going around him. Did you see that as a rookie the minute he showed up?
Well, you know what? You could tell he had a certain poise about him right when he first got there. And then, you know, they kind of slowed everything down offensively for him until midway through the season. But how he handled it, his poise, how he directed the team, you knew he had those tangible things where his leadership was outstanding. Now, could he perform on the field? That's what was yet to be seen. And when he started doing that, he had the whole package.
You shared a story with me that about Russell Wilson that you saw when he first got there, and it was in his notebook. Care to share that?
Well, you know, it was just a goal sheet where he had, you know, professional goals and personal goals. And I just thought it was really unique for a player to have that sheet in his book every day. And it's something that he looked at and, you know, really kept him grounded, really kept him directed on what he wanted to accomplish for the organization and for himself personally. And I don't know. I mean, it looked like personal, you know, goals or daily goals. So I don't know if it switched every day. You know, his personal goals. But I just thought it was really unique.
How long did it take for the team to recognize his leadership? I'm not talking about the coaches. I'm talking about the players.
Well, I think as soon as we started winning.
Okay.
You know,
yeah,
then all of a sudden he was a great leader.
Yeah. That's all it takes.
Yeah, it really is. If a quarterback has success within your program or your organization, the players will believe now. That they will believe in it. So it you can be a great leader and not win. And it's just not as effective as when you're winning.
He seems more mature than what his years are. I mean, that's the thing that really stands out as a young passer.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, he played, was drafted in major leagues for baseball.
Really?
You know, so, yeah, with the Colorado Rockies. So he's already had some experiences. He was at North Carolina State, transferred to Wisconsin, you know, drafted in major league baseball. You know, everything that's happened in his life at his age, you know, has caused him to mature greatly. So I think his dad had a big part of it as well.
All right, we turn our focus to the Jaguars when we return to the Gus Bradley Show. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. Jaguars getting ready to take on the Seahawks in Seattle, spending the entire week on the West Coast. We were talking about the quarterback in particular. The other concept of their read option offense coach is Marshawn Lynch in Seattle. We've seen him. He's a bruiser.
Yeah, he is. You know what? It's really interesting. They have some two-back zone plays. And, you know, they really are physical, aggressive at the point, and they get some yards. But then they get in that read option, and it spreads out the defense a little bit. And Russell does a good job keeping the ball, keeps the ball on boots, and it just opens things up a little bit more. And that's where you're seeing their explosive runs, off that read option. And it's amazing in the NFL just how much impact that has. But it all predicated on the quarterback has the ability to run.
Is that what we saw last week when Oakland was able to get their explosive runs?
Well, you know, somewhat. You know, that was a little bit formational. They had us formational-wise with the defense that we were in. And then, you know, that's when we had to adjust to it. But, yeah, it's difficult. When that quarterback has the ability to run, you can't take care of all three things at once.
Right.
You can say, all right, we're going to knock these two things out. This one we'll rally to, you know. But which one are you going to take care of? You're going to take care of Marshawn Lynch on the dive. You're going to take care of Russell on the keeper. Well, then you might not be as good in pass coverage. You know, and that's what happened with Green Bay. Green Bay went in there with San Francisco and said, we are not letting them run the ball. That's not what we're going to do. Kaepernick's not going to run it. Frank Gore's not going to run it. But we're going to give up.
And Kaepernick threw for 400
yards. 400 yards.
Yeah.
You know, and you say, well, okay, if he does that and we lose, well, you know, we'll take it. But they're not going to beat us running the ball. It's almost that mentality. What are we going to take away and what are we going to try to do to, you know, to stop it? But to go in there and stop all three phases, it's pretty difficult at times.
I get this question with different interviews around the country that we do. And the question is this. Is the read option here to stay with the pistols and all that? And I say yes. I mean, because if you look at the quarterbacks coming out of college, the pipeline that the quarterbacks are coming from, that's what they do. So why not use it if you can?
Well, and I don't think it has to be anything where you're committed to it. I don't think it has to be this is what we're going to do for 35 plays. I think, you know, you can get away if you did it 10 times a game. You create just enough strain because now every time they're in the gun, you don't know if they're going to do it. So I think the commitment for you're going to see from teams is going to be different than it was in college. I don't think you're going to see it that many times. You'll see it less. But the other problem is now who's your backup quarterback? Are you going to have two quarterbacks that have that style? So if he does get nicked, are we going to have to change our whole entire offense or can the second team quarterback come in and still continue to operate that way? That's the dilemma the NFL teams, I think, are facing.
But we're not going to see Peyton Manning or Tom Brady run the read option out of the pistol. That ain't happening.
No.
No.
You know, he's not a threat, so. But you have other issues with those
two guys.
You know?
Well, are we seeing the NFL go to the read option quarterback? Because there aren't as many dropback passers. I mean, the Peyton Mannings of the world seem fewer and farther between.
Well, they're still out there, and you know, they're trying to get those guys to do a little bit of the read option, but. I think that's the dilemma, really, Brian. It's just, okay, you're starting quarterback. You're not. I just believe you're not going to see it like college. It's not going to be 35 times a game. You can't do that at the threat of having the quarterback injured. But even 10 or 11 times now, it puts enough stress on the defense to try to open things up. And what I think is it takes pressure off the offensive line. The offensive line doesn't have to be quite as good now.
Really?
You know, yeah, because you've got three facets of the game, and now the pass rush has slowed down, and, you know, I think you take some pressure off of them.
So in a very simple layman's way that people who are listening can understand, what do your guys on defense have to do this week in order to shut down or stop or slow down, however you want to term it, that read option in Seattle?
Well, I think, you know, you based on tendencies, you try to find out, when do they hand it off? When does he keep it? And when does he run the play passes off of it? And, you know, it's you try to design a defense that is good maybe in two of the three areas, and then you just try to hit it by tendencies. And you're not always going to be right. And that's why you see sometimes there's big plays that occur. But, you know, if we execute and we, you know, do our job, so be it. You know, I think then that's when you see it fall into place and you see it where, hey, that team did a really good job against the read option. Well, they had all facets put together.
Because really, to defend that type of play, the read option, you really got to go back and understand what it is, right? Because you just brought up, you know, we're trying to determine the tendencies of when the ball's handed off versus the quarterback keeps it, because a lot of that is predetermined in the huddle. In the huddle, the quarterback may say, this is just a handoff, but it appears that it's a read.
Right. And then there are the series where he is truly reading it. So now, who do you want to carry the ball? Do you want Marshawn Lynch to carry the ball? Do you want Russell Wilson to carry the ball? If you say we're going to take care of Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson carry the ball, say, hey, that sounds good. Well, it could be a pass. And you're taking care of the run and you lose a contained rusher. And now he can scramble around. So it's all those things that you just have to go through. And but we have a pretty good plan. We have a good plan against it. So we'll see how we continue to put it together.
And the Seahawks may be missing one of their best offensive linemen, left tackle Russell Okung.
Right.
A guy who actually handled Justin Smith pretty well early in the game last week.
Yeah, very talented. Very talented all-pro left tackle and has done a nice job. They have Tom Cable's done a nice job with their entire offensive line, the mentality they have.
All right, we'll roll along with head coach Gus Bradley from California getting ready to go to Washington in a few days. Jaguars and Seahawks Sunday. And we're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. We're back with the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley, out in California getting ready to go to Seattle on Saturday to take on the Seattle Seahawks. We've talked a lot about the Seahawks and their offense on the defensive side of the ball, coach. How is Alan Ball this week getting ready to go on Sunday?
Well, we're going to have to... that's kind of a wait-and-see deal.
It's going to be that way, huh?
Yeah, we'll test him again before the game, just like we did last week, and see. It's important for him to get at full strength. We don't want this to be a lingering injury.
Right.
And so that's what we're evaluating now. Our trainers have done a good job with the treatment, but he was pretty sore when he came out of last week's game.
He really impressed me, though. I mean, the way he played, he's impressed me all along. I think at the beginning of OTAs, you could tell he was trying to find his way, but once you got into camp, he's been impressive.
He really has. I think we look at him differently now as a coaching staff. And I mean differently than maybe when we first picked him up as a free agent. We said, okay, here's a kid a young man that's going to be competitive and he's going to work his tail off and we'd love to have him a part of this. And then he came here and was extremely competitive, worked his tail off every day, brought in a certain mentality, helped the young guys. We thought, holy cow, this is a great situation. And that's what you saw last week. He was hurting a little bit, felt pretty good before the game, and toughed it out and went out there and played.
And along the lines of, everybody's kind of confined out here, I had a chance to talk with him for about 15 minutes in the hotel. He's an impressive guy.
Yeah, really is. Really is. Directed, knows what he wants, really focused guy. Great in that room, great for our team.
Another guy that really stood out. I mean, it wasn't perfect this past week against the Raiders, but the guy that stands out athletically, Geno Hayes. He can do things that a lot of other linebackers just can't do.
Right, and I think I might have mentioned earlier with Geno, we were looking for that consistency from him, where week in and week out we knew what we were going to get. And that was day in and day out during OTAs and minicamp. But we're starting to see that now. We're starting to see that now. He's another guy that, you could, for Geno, just throw the ball out. It doesn't matter. There's preparation and things like that. Let's go do it at 10 a.m. Let's go do it at 3 a.m. He'll be ready. And, that's what's cool about him. He'll go anywhere, anytime to compete. And you've really seen the consistency come out of his game.
And the Oakland Raiders, and then also in week one, because I'm going back to the preseason and watching the preseason tape, the one guy that kind of flashed in the preseason, Cedric Marks, and a little quiet the first couple weeks.
Well, quiet maybe because of pressures and things like that. But, last week in the Oakland game, we felt like there's three plays that, okay, Cedric, we want you to perform at this level. It's not quite up to your standard, but that's three plays, and sometimes you can focus on that, but that means he had 63 other plays that were very good, very good. So he's been playing well, and those flashes that you see where he gets pressure on the quarterback, they'll come. I think we've got four sacks right now after two games, and we're just going to keep challenging him to get continue to get pressure on the quarterback, and he can at that position.
And as a defense, you always talk about it being the ball. That's the one area that would certainly help an offense that's struggling a little bit is getting some more takeaways as a defense.
Right. I believe we were, plus one last week? Mm-hmm. And, and it wasn't good enough. And the defense has to get the ball more is right. Anytime we can get the ball in our offensive hands. And because I think our offense is going to rely on opportunities. And, especially at this point as we're putting things together, we need to get them the ball.
And there was that one at the end of the ball game there,
right
at the 49-yard line, and it brings into play Jonathan Cyprian, who's a guy who flashed to me watching that last week. I mean, he showed his ability to really deliver a blow.
Right. I think, you know, we said a couple weeks ago the game is big for some of the guys. And I know that's been a statement that has been used by a lot of people. Well, that's not the case with Jonathan. He is really, I mean, he'll make mistakes out there, but we understood that. But he made a mistake last week. The next time they did it, he had it corrected and shut down the play.
All right, so we've talked about Geno Hayes and Derek Marks, Jonathan Zimmerman, Alan Ball, and about guys who were starting to flash and make things happen. So now what's the next step for the defense? Is it communication? I mean, what is it?
Well, there is. I mean,
puts all that together.
You know, I don't know. They're ranked. You know, we don't get too much into the rankings, but I know, like, total yards in there, they're top 10. They're top 10 in that category. So you're saying, well, that's pretty impressive for just putting it together. Yeah, but we're giving up, you know, 200 yards rushing. And that comes into executing their responsibilities, play in and play out. So we're playing good defense. We're just not doing it consistently. And, you know, one or two big plays, six explosive plays in a game, that's probably average in the NFL. We give up that. Yeah. Well, we've got to get that knocked down. To be a very good defense, you have to get it knocked down to three or four. And that's what it should feel like for you guys where you say, oh, I didn't see as many big plays this week. Well, that's showing consistency by the defense.
Two questions here. One, how's Dwayne Grotz doing first?
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. You know, he's back at home being with our trainers there. We left some trainers back there for him. And, you know, that's probably another couple weeks away.
Okay, and then to follow up with that position, Will Blackman. A guy that he ended up getting as a free agent late in the preseason has done a very good job, it appears.
He really has, and that's the part about, you know, you didn't blink last week. You know, he was out there, and Oakland threw explosive plays. I mean, they were trying to throw the ball deep on occasion, but you didn't feel it, and Will did a good job. And that could be this case. I mean, who would have thought we're going into Seattle, Washington, and one quarter might be Demetrius McCray, a seventh-round draft pick, and Will Blackman, a guy we picked up 2 weeks ago. You know, there's our two starting corners. But they'll perform. They'll go out there. They'll execute. And they have the traits. And that's why I'm excited to see. Demetrius had a great practice yesterday. Will Blackman was competing his tail off against Cecil Shorts. That's what you have to do. And they'll do that.
All right. We've got much more to come with head coach Gus Bradley when we return to the Gus Bradley Show from California on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. We turn our attention to the Seahawks defense. And, Coach, that's a unit you know very, very well. How much different do you suppose they're going to play it without you on their sideline?
Well, I, you know, just trying to study it with our offense and going through things, you know, I'm sure there's some subtle differences. But for the most part, you can watch the tape and go, well, that's this call, that's this call, that's this call. And so it's pretty much the same thing. They have different personnel, especially up front in the defensive line. I know pass rush was a concern last year for us when I was there, and Pete wanted to get that change and add more personnel there and more pass rushers. So you're seeing more of that style. But, yeah, they've done a good job with it. So, you know, they mix things up a little bit more, bringing maybe a little bit more pressure. But 17% of the time pressure, that's not a whole lot.
No.
So it tells you that they're really relying on that four-man rush.
And they're relying on a secondary that's probably the best in the league. I mean, the two corners are outstanding. The safety's very good. And then up front, they're just playing a bunch of different guys. But they're number one in the league in total defense, and I believe they're number one in takeaways.
Yeah. They had a big week last week in takeaways. But, you know, I think what we're probably going to end up seeing is probably a lot of man coverage, you know, where they'll come up and say, all right, let's lock these guys down, use our four-man rush, and let's see. They're going to try to make it really easy ball for them. So, you know, that's what we anticipate. And even though there's going to be times they mix in some zone in there, now when it's man coverage, guys got to stand up.
You know, it's interesting when you look at the way that they put that together. Richard Sherman was a fifth-round draft pick. Brandon Browner came from the CFL, right?
Right.
I mean, Earl Thomas was a high pick, but you were piecing guys together until you found the right guys at the right fit, right?
Yeah, and it took some time. You know, our first year when we were in Seattle, Marcus Trufant was the starting corner. Kelly Jennings was a corner. And then the next year it was, well, let's pick up this free agent and draft this guy in the fifth round that had the traits that we're looking for. And they've done a great job up there. You can't argue that fact.
And the front seven. Talking to Chris Polian, the pro personnel guy for you guys, I thought he described it perfectly. He said that the front seven, he said, like a hockey team. You know, yeah. They just come in waves.
Yeah, they do.
They play everybody.
You know, they have really, really strong competition in the deep, throughout the team, but in that defensive line. And everybody is hunting for their time on the field. So when they get their opportunity, I mean, they're playing at the highest level.
All right, Jaguars and Seahawks from Seattle on Sunday. Of course, you'll hear the entire broadcast right here. We continue on with head coach Gus Bradley after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Gus Bradley Show, Sexton, Bradley, and Loggeman here. And, Coach, we stay on that defensive side of the ball for them. Jeff?
Oh, the corners are outstanding. You'd say you were talking about how you would expect to see them play a lot of man. They can do that probably as good as anybody.
Yeah, you know, real aggressive. Get in your face, press coverage, you know, try to lock onto you. You watch them on tape, and they might be, you know, physically trying to hold on to you past 5 yards. You'll see it 7, 8 yards.
Yeah, that's what you taught.
Yeah, that's right. And I know that, you know, you watch it, and it's amazing that you get away with it. It is. And to watch it on tape now, but the refs don't call it. Officials don't call it. And, you know, I know there's been Coach Harbaugh in San Francisco has made comments about it and teams that play them. But, you know, they do a great job with it, hiding it or, you know, using it to their advantage. And you give them credit. But, you know, that's something we have to deal with. So, you know, we have a good plan going into it. So we'll see how we can execute.
And for your offense, I mean, an offense that's struggling. I mean, this is a big challenge. They play good football, and then on top of that, you're going to a hostile environment that is known for its 13th man.
Right. And I think we just have to keep our world really small. And if you can go with me on this, I mean, you can talk about the hostile environment, and they're good defensively, and their corners are good, they're a good team. They're a good team, and they play really well. Okay, now, what about us? What do we have to do? Let's not, let's direct attention on what we're trying to get accomplished up there in Seattle. And that's what I love about our guys right now. That's where their attention is. They could care less about Seattle. They want to make sure we do our things right. And that's what I love about our team.
What about doing your things right? I mean, first and foremost, eliminate some of the very easily controllable miscues that you've had.
Right. You know, in penalties, you know, Luke Jokel, he's got a great challenge this week. Yes, there's crowd noise. Okay, Luke, well, you can control it. You know, the false starts and things like that. Concentrate, get in there, trust your preparation, and let's go. And so tremendous challenge for him. You know, and all of our individuals have, you know, tremendous competition within themselves. And, you know, they've got to learn to deal with it and learn to perform at a high level. So, it's great. It's a great opportunity.
That group, the offensive line in particular, obviously, Coach, we've talked about them. What do they have to do this week in particular against Seattle to get better?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, keep your poise. They have to be poised up there and then execute their assignments. They've got some tough matchups, but they have to trust the scheme. Trust that, the scheme will work if they do things right.
How are your guards, by the way? Both Will and Uche have been dealing with little nagging injuries. How are they going into it?
They're doing good. It is. The nagging injuries can kind of hurt your performance level at times, but it hasn't happened with our two guards. They've gone out there. They haven't missed practice, and, they're fighting through it. And, you know, a lot of our guys are going to have to fight through injuries, but those two guys have done an outstanding job with that.
The quarterback, everybody wants to know, is Blaine Gabbert starting to throw? You said that he's probably not going to play this week, but maybe next?
No, he did. He did start to throw. We thought he would throw on the side, but he actually took some 7-on-7 reps yesterday. And, the sore looks good. He got some of the stitches removed. So he won't be able to play this week. It's, you know, I don't think it's ready for that. But, you know, after that, you know, things look promising.
How about Chad? From his perspective, stepping right into the breach there and having to be the leader?
Yeah, he did a good job. You know what? I look in Chad's stats last week were 25 for 38 for 250.
Yeah, he was
yards.
Real solid.
Yeah, just solid performance. And he's going to get another opportunity this week. And, we look for him to show even more improvement.
All right, we come back. One more segment with head coach Gus Bradley here on the Gus Bradley Show. And we're back on Jaguars Radio. All right, one final segment here with the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. Jaguars in California getting set for a 4:25 kickoff against the Seahawks on Sunday. For those of you in Jacksonville, Publix tailgate show at 1:00. And then, obviously, Jaguars pregame starts at 3, kickoff at 4:25. We pick up the entire network at 3 o'clock Eastern time. Coach, special teams, such a big part of the game. I know Jeff was breaking down the tape earlier in the week and found a lot of guys that he liked their effort on special teams.
Yeah, we are. It's you're seeing guys. You just feel it, I think, in our special teams since the first preseason game. You know, you're watching the first preseason game, you're going, okay, you know, we've got some issues here. But they've really done a nice job cleaning up. We did give up the one return last week. And, you know, those things, you know, there's three younger guys on the perimeter that converted too fast. And we got to get those things corrected. But as a whole, you're really starting to see the improvement. And, you know, we all want it to be fast. And that's our challenge, is to try to get those guys playing together so they can play off one another.
And you talked about identifying the core special teamers. And there's a couple guys that really are starting to stand out. Josh Evans, I think, is playing well. And my Virginia guy, Leroy Reynolds, every week he seems to do something.
Yeah, he's disruptive. You know, and that's what you're looking for on special teams, guys that are disruptive. And, you know, and Leroy, you know, he'll do three things really well, and then one you got to correct him on. And that's okay. We'll get it to where he's 4-for-4.
The punter. Last week had the 26-yarder, goes out of bounds. You know, hey, my expectations for Brian Enger are way up here.
Right.
He can even be better for you for an offense to help that field position flip.
Well, there's a classic example. It's very important. Brian's got a lot of pride. He's extremely competitive. And now he goes out in a situation where it might be backed up and said, this one I'm going to launch 80 yards. That's my goal. And he tries too hard. And then he gets out of his comfort level, and then you see a 26-yarder. So he's going through that inside. You know, what is going on? It's not like a lack of effort. And he's saying, just slow down. It's just like swinging a 9-iron. Get back into your groove and just do it how you're capable of. And really that sense that we're talking right there, that's what we're doing with our team. The competitiveness, the aggressiveness is all there. We just have to get them back in their wheelhouse at times.
You're where you want to be at. You're where you want to be going with the culture then?
Yes.
With this group?
Yeah.
I mean, you touched on it.
That's what I say. We have a competitive team, and they're very spirited, and you can't question, I don't question their effort. Their effort on the field is tremendous. So we just have to get it to where we're playing more consistent. And sometimes it can be so important to you that that's when mistakes come up. And, you know, you just got to have that confidence to trust your preparation, trust that everything you've done that week is going to come out in the game.
When you say you don't question their effort, you know, the one gauge that I always have for effort, any game, you know, particularly games that can be a little bit lopsided, I go and I look at the last field goal rush.
Yeah.
Of any game, and I look at that, and if I look at that one play, and I look at the effort on that play, I can say, okay, this team is giving it all it's got, and you guys have been given all you've got on that one play that I've watched.
Well, I think this team demonstrates it in this way. We got a fumble at the end of the game last week. We're moving it down in 2 minutes. Ace Sanders goes up, makes a great grab. I mean, Ace Sanders was competing. Chad was competing. The offensive line competing. Now, that's the last drive when we're down. And then to get the fumble like we did at the end, the defense is competing. So those are all visual pictures. We can take that on tape and show our players, say, this is something we are not questioning that. We just have to do it more consistently.
Might we see A. Sanders return punts?
Could be a possibility. You know, right now, you know, between him and Will, we'll discuss that more tonight and see what our options are. But, yeah, we need to get him back here. Somewhat of our receiving depth is somewhat of an issue.
Right.
So that's why right now Ace hasn't been back there. But, you know, we also got to be able to, you know, put our best back there.
Well, he's the guy. You talked about him going up. I mean, he went way up. Isn't that the shot to the ribs that he took on that particular play?
Yeah, he did. And, you know, extremely competitive play. And that's where it's great to see for Ace, because he did have a couple drops in earlier games. And that's where he said, Ace, it's no different than college now. You just go up and catch the ball. That's all you got to do. And, you know, I think that's what he did. And I think that play will give him great confidence going forward.
And right. Steven Burton, a wide receiver, doing a pretty good job in a short time he's been here.
44 plays, you know, had a big catch. And, you know, he's going through a hip pointer. Generally, that would keep you out of practice. He's practiced every day this week.
The one thing that stands out on him, though, Gus, I mean, he's got speed now.
He does.
Ooh, he's got some speed.
You know, a 220-pound guy that runs 4-4. you know, that would be a tremendous asset. And, you know, he's just learning the offense for, you know, the last 2 weeks. So, you know, he'll continue to improve as well.
All right, that's it, Coach. Thanks so much. Best of luck with the rest of your preparation in California and on Sunday in Seattle.
It's been great. I appreciate you guys.
That's the Gus Bradley Show. Have a great evening, everybody.